Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Beauty has attractiveness, it has appeal, and we desire beauty. God's word is holy. And for those who know the author, there is appeal. There is desire to know more about God. And we know that from his word. We're going to read this morning from God's holy word found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Starting at verse 13, reading on through verse 23. God's word also gives an accurate account of human nature. Failures and victories. And in this scripture, we see both of those. A failure, but also a victory, because God put away David's sin. And that is a victory that we can all cherish, because we have victory over sin because of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary on our behalf. Hallelujah. What a Savior. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead, and therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. We ask those who are able to kneel as we come to the Lord in prayer.
Good morning. We greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic of the morning is fasting. Is it a neglected discipline in your life? Fasting. I thank our brother this morning who taught in our Sunday school class. A lot of time was spent on the idea of humility and being humble. And you'll see this morning that laid a groundwork for the idea of fasting. Fasting, a neglected discipline. I'd like to ask this morning, but I'm not going to have you raise your hands, how many of you fast regularly? How many of you fast regularly? Is it a discipline in your life? Are we forfeiting something in our Christian walk by not fasting regularly? Are we missing out? I was asked to preach on this topic, and I'm not certain why. I've never fasted on a regular basis. When the church calls for it, I fast, but as a regular discipline in my life, it has not been something that I did on a regular basis. I don't know why I've never done it very much. Maybe I never understood it. Maybe I've never understood the blessings that come through fasting. Maybe I never saw the power in it before. But I was asked to preach on the subject, and I'm thankful for the brother who asked me. It's been a blessing to me to study fasting in Scripture. It's been a challenge to me, and I hope it is to you this morning. Fasting, are you like me? Have you neglected it in your Christian walk? Fasting we find throughout Scripture. We see it throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the life of Moses and Daniel, Elijah. We see it in the New Testament with our Lord and Savior. We know Jesus fasted. We see it in the New Testament there and the apostles. They fasted. As we study early church history, we know that the early church fasted. So why don't we? Why don't I? Why don't I? Fasting, what is it? For the purpose of this morning's talk, this is how we're going to define fasting. Voluntarily. I think that's important. Throughout the centuries, fasted was called on to be mandatory on certain days. And when you have that being mandatory like that, sometimes it leads to legalism and all that. But voluntarily abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose is our definition this morning. Voluntarily abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. I found another definition that I really liked as we try to get our hand around what is fasting. And it's one passion driving out another passion. I want you to think about that a little bit in regard to fasting. One passion, the passion for God, the passion for a closer walk with God, driving out an earthly passion like hunger. One passion replacing another passion. We know that fasting in this today's age is often done for other than spiritual purposes. I worked with a man who did an intermittent fasting to lose weight. But this morning we're talking about a fast, voluntarily abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. So why aren't we doing it more? Perhaps it's been a lack of teaching, a lack of knowledge. Some say it's not directly commanded in the Bible, that we don't have to do it. I sort of challenge that. I believe it's clear in Scripture that we're expected to fast. It may not say, thou shalt fast, but it certainly speaks a lot about it. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want you to note some things here that I find interesting as we think about fasting. Matthew chapter 6. This is our Lord's, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Here he was teaching how the disciples how to live in his kingdom. How to live, what to do in the kingdom of God. And Matthew chapter 6 starts with the idea of giving an offering. Verse 2, it says, when thou doest thine alms, when you give your offering, and then it goes on to say how you're to do it. Do not be as the hypocrites. Do not do it that you would be seen of men, but give it silently. It goes on in verse 5, it says, when thou prayest, thou shalt be not as the hypocrites are. And it tells them how to do it, how to pray in your closet. Don't stand on the street corner and make a big scene. But you see there, in the very same breath, in verse 16, it says, moreover, when ye fast. You see, it says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. We get the first two done pretty good, well, I think. We do a good job of giving. We do a good job of praying. But what about the third one, when you fast? It's interesting there, isn't it? It says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a reward. There's a reward, a blessing of some sort promised when you fast correctly. What is that reward? What is the reward that Jesus promises us when we fast? I'd like to look at three areas where we have a blessing in fasting, a reward in fasting, on why we should fast. What are we missing out on by not obeying this commandment of God when you fast? First off, fasting is a means to humble yourself. We talked about a lot this morning in Sunday school, the need to humble yourself. The need to humble yourself. And fasting is one of God's appointed ways that you can do that. That you can do that. Humbling yourself is a command in Scripture. We looked at it this morning. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times. How do you do that? How do you humble yourself before a high and holy God? One of God's appointed ways to do that is through fasting. You see, fasting reminds us just how needy we are, just how weak we are. When we fast, we get our mind off of ourselves and get it on to God. We die to ourselves in fasting, and we live for God. We die to the natural and live for the spiritual. During the fast, we make a conscious choice to ignore ourselves and focus on God. And you see, that humbles us. That humbles us. As a boy, I was taught when we fast, if my belly growled, I was to pray. And that's all the teaching I received growing up about fasting. When your belly growls, it reminds you to pray, which is true. It's a good reminder. But it goes far beyond that. Fasting is a way to get our minds off ourselves and to see ourselves in the light of a high and holy God. How much we need Him. We sang about it a few minutes ago. In fasting, we turn away from self and we turn towards God. And that's humbling. And that's the way you obey the scripture, to humble yourself before God. The Christian must lead a humble life. It's the only life that Jesus, that God, that the Holy Spirit can work with. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in a high and a holy place." But he says, "I also dwell with those who have a humble and contrite spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. If you want Jesus Christ, if you want God, if you want the Holy Spirit to live in you and work with you, it says the only way to do it is to humble yourselves. And one of God's appointed and approved ways to do that is through fasting. Reminds us, it's not about me. It's not about fulfilling my desires, my wants, but it's about God. We learn in fasting to depend on Him, and He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that provides for us. And that's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. Jesus Himself said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." As we study Scripture, it's amazing to me how humility is tied to fasting. Over and over again, do a word search of it, and the two are together, always together. The psalmist says in Psalm 35:13, "I humbled my soul with fasting." I humbled my soul with fasting. Secondly, in humbling ourselves through fasting, we learn to see ourselves as God sees us. That leads to repentance, doesn't it? When we see ourselves, when we see our sins, when we see ourselves as God sees us, that humbleness leads, gives opportunity to repentance, to spiritual growth, to go forward with God. And all this is done through the means of fasting. Fasting is a means where we can humble ourselves before God. Number two, Fasting is a means to know God better and His will and His direction for your life. We know without a doubt to draw closer to someone, to have a relationship with someone, it takes time. No one can argue that. It takes time. And in the fast, we spend time with God. We're reminded about God. Our mind is on God. And we draw closer to Him. We draw closer to Him. We search for His will for our lives. We look to Him for directions. I challenge you, do you have a decision to make in your life? Spend time with God in fasting. Die to yourself and say, God, I want to do it your way. Direct me. Show me which way to go. You need to know God's will for your life. Spend time with Him in fasting. Get to know God. Get to know God. And one of the appointed ways we can do that, there are others, but one of the appointed ways by God is through fasting. You see, in that humbleness, when we die to ourselves, we get to know God better. We get to know God better. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 13. Here we see an account in Scripture where the church leaders fasted. Acts chapter 13. This challenged me. This challenged me a lot. As a church leader, as a father, leader of the home. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. These were leaders of the church, and as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted. They fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost in their fast said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Do you fast? Church leader, Sunday school teacher, father, do you fast and wait for the Holy Spirit to lead you? I asked a minister 2 weeks ago about fasting. He told me, he said, Brian, I never get into the pulpit without a day of fasting. It touched me. He said, I never go to a council meeting without a day of fasting. I never go to a minister's meeting without a day of fasting. What about you? And so we see that fasting can be a way. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. Fasting can be a way to get direction from God. Can it be that the errors that we make so often in life, decisions that we make wrong, are because we haven't fasted and prayed? Can that be? And so we see that fasting is a means to humble yourselves before God. Fasting is a means to be closer with God and know His will. And thirdly, fasting is a means of spiritual power. Fasting is a means to spiritual power. Turn, if you would, to Luke 4. And I tread lightly here. I don't want to say anything that's wrong, but I want you to see this scripture. Luke chapter 4. You're very familiar with the scripture, the temptation of our Lord. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, and he afterward hungered. In those days he did eat nothing. Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted during those days. Verse 1. Notice, and being full of the Holy Ghost. But if we go to verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I ask myself, is there a difference between Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost in verse 1 and walking in the power of the Spirit? I don't want to go too far. But when I apply it to my life, and when I apply it to your life, is there a difference for you? Every believer here right now is full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit. But are you walking in the power of the Spirit? It's two very different things in my mind. Two very different things. At conversion, we repent. We confess our sins. We declare Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. We're baptized and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're full of the Holy Spirit. But do we allow the Holy Spirit control? Do we walk in the power of the Spirit? Do we walk in the power of the Spirit? We know very well that struggle between the old man and the new man. We live it out every day, don't we? Paul describes it in Romans. He says, those things I would like to do, I don't. And I do things, I might have it backward. But he fought the battle. Those things he wanted to do, he couldn't. And he did things he didn't want to do. Turn, if you would, to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit control of your life, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Is there a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? I think there is. I think there is. You see, fasting, when we fast, as we humble ourselves, as we die to ourselves, as we die to the old man, the Holy Spirit has room to work with us. that struggle isn't there as much as we die to ourselves. And this is through fasting. This is how we can gain spiritual power, by dying to ourselves through fasting. Turn, if you would, to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. It's a text that I've often preached on. And the verse I'd like to look at this morning is one that I always skim quickly over. You're familiar with the text, and I don't want to take the time to read it all to you. But the disciples in this text failed to cast out this dumb and deaf spirit. And in chapter 9, verse 28, and when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I've avoided that verse because I never understood it. I understand it, I think, a little better now. Do you want spiritual power in your life? Perhaps we should fast a little more often. It's in fasting, in dying to ourselves, we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. And I wonder if we don't have the power to defeat sin in our life, these hard sins that we've carried for years and years, could it be that we never fasted about it? Sins of anger, sins of jealousy, bitterness, addictions that we have. You know, I've read a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot, I've read a number of self-help books, Christian books, how to defeat sin in your life, how to defeat addictions. And they give good counsel. Read the Bible, pray, have accountability partners. But I don't know that I ever read one that mentioned fasting. Fasting as a means to spiritual power. You see, it's not in the fasting. It's not something magical. But it's in the time you spend with God. It's in the dying to yourself that you gain power through the Holy Spirit. Let's turn back, lastly, I see my time's up. Let's turn back to what Brother Ken read for us in 2 Samuel. I struggled with a verse to have read, 2 Samuel chapter 12. But I want you to see one thing here. And I thank Brother Ken for his comments. There's so much we could say about this text. But I want you to see one thing when it talks about fasting. In verse 15 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, well, you know the account, I didn't go back, how this was about the baby David fathered with Bathsheba. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. Means he prayed. He begged to God to spare the child's life. And David fasted And he went in and lay all night upon the earth. He fasted and he prayed to God. He begged to God to spare the child's life. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. You have such a burden for a child, a burden for something else. Whatever it is, it's a heavy burden you have. But was David's prayer answered the way he wanted it to be? It wasn't, wasn't it? It wasn't. In the next verse, it said it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. So I ask you this morning, was all that praying and fasting and crying out to God, was it worthless? Was it all a waste of time? What about the burden you're bearing or have borne? You cried out to God for healing. You've cried out to God for a change. Maybe you prayed. Maybe you've even fasted about it. I'd just like to challenge you with the thought. Remember what fasting is. It's replacing one desire with another one. That was not all a waste of time, because in David's fast, in his prayers, he found the strength to go on, didn't he? He found the strength to glorify God. How could David rise up the earth and wash himself and anoint himself and change his apparel and come into the house of the Lord and worship without strength from God himself, without the Holy Spirit working in him? How can you change from losing a child to glorifying God? You see, in his prayer and in his fast, even though they weren't answered the way he wanted to be, he humbled himself before God. He got to know God better, who he was, and what he's doing, and he found the power to go on. He found the power to go on. So I ask you this morning, are we missing out on spiritual blessings by not fasting? I know I am. Will you try it? Will you allow God to bless you through humbling yourself before God, through getting to know him, and through receiving spiritual power by denying yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life? May God bless you.
This message was for me. And I had to think, you know, we just had a self-examination message last Sunday morning. And the Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we truly judge ourselves, oftentimes that involves some type of chastisement. I believe Hebrews 12 says that chastisement for the moment is not pleasant. David says in Psalm 69:10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. We can chasten ourselves through the power of fasting if we put our minds to it for the Lord. Later on in that chapter, David cries out, "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." That displays a very humble spirit. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.